Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Rodcast. I'm sitting here with two fine young men. We've got Monty Plummer from Tokyo. We've got Tasuke, who's also in Tokyo and overseeing different areas of Lifehouse Church. And I'm Richard here in Hong Kong. And today we're talking about the purpose life. And we're going to unpack this idea in a lot of detail over this call. This is based off an interview that I did with Pastor Rod a couple of weeks ago, and it's already up on the podcast. So firstly, guys, how are you? You good? How's Japan?
Japan's good.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Enjoying the season.
Yeah.
Great. You got cherry blossoms?
Oh, yeah.
Beautifully bloom.
Okay. Nice. I just got back from Korea and they were everywhere. It's awesome.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
beautiful. Cool. We'll move on then. Okay. So this whole concept came out of actually a holiday that I had in Australia. So I was there for February. It was kind of my long service leave. I've been working for our church for many years now and had built up some holidays. So took my family to Australia, had a great time, lots of lattes and good food. I'm still trying to burn off those calories. I was reflecting on this great holiday that I had with my family and, you know, like just life in Australia. I love Australia. It's a great place. But was thinking about the life that I'm living right now here in Hong Kong and the church we have and all we're doing for Jesus. And this last 17 years of living in Asia and kind of being a part of the church and seeing God move. And there's a lot of comforts that come with being in your home country. And some of that is like, you know, it kind of pulls at you a little bit. Oh, I can have a nice big house, nice car and all this. Maybe some things I can't really have here exactly like that. We're still blessed here, but it looks different. I felt strongly in my heart that what I love about my life is it's a life of purpose, and I've prioritized God's purpose and chasing his purpose. And there've been times where I've slipped up and it hasn't always been my focus, but I think generally speaking, over the last 17 years, I've tried to pursue God's purpose over the comforts of life, over the nice stuff. And over time, God has blessed me in certain ways with nice stuff, and that's great. Love it. But purpose has always been the foundation, and I just really have no regrets, and I feel still so excited 17 years later about what God is doing through me and the small part I get to play in his plan. So I want to talk to you guys about this idea of purpose, of sacrifice, of living a big life for Jesus, the costs that come with that, and why it's so worth it. So I don't know where we can start with this. Maybe we could get a little bit of your stories of how you have kind of discovered purpose for yourself and what that looks like for you. So maybe Mont, I might start with you. Sure. Yeah. So how did you find purpose and what does that look like?
Yeah. So I guess for me, it's interesting because my family moved from Australia to Japan when I was 9. So this is 22 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And that was like pretty crazy, right? Like moving from a different country, being 9, not having the framework to fully like comprehend why.
And it's a very different country. It's like quite a different culture.
It's,
you know,
it's so not different.
Yeah, it's not similar. Yeah.
And my greatest fear was like, am I going to have to go to a Japanese school because I don't speak Japanese and what's that going to be like? So for me, my 9-year-old brain, the biggest challenge was, am I going to have to be in a only Japanese speaking environment? Mm. But I think I was blessed in a way that I got to see what purpose looked like in my life. I got to see it modeled through my parents, what a life of purpose looks like. And it was a lot of sacrifice. But many years later now, seeing how good God is and how rewarding he is to like that things that doesn't make sense, like give up this. And then later on, you will have some of those comforts to a degree, maybe not like what you might dream or imagine, but like God is good. So I feel I'm very blessed to be able to grow up in that environment, in a purpose-driven environment. But then for me, I had to make my own decisions. And I'd say the key point in my life was when I was 18 and we had the earthquake and tsunami in Japan in 2011. And that was pretty rattling for me in terms of faith, in terms of what do I believe. And then a few weeks later, our class went to Thailand and there was an earthquake in Thailand. And I was just feeling pretty low. And then it was a Christian school, so we started singing a worship song. And I just felt like God's presence just touched me, just come all over me. It was just like a liquid honey. It was just warmth. And this thick warmth just from my head down. And I was crying and, you know, like saliva and, you know, all that in front of the girls. But in that moment, I felt God speak to me, the clearest I've ever heard God speak. It wasn't a voice in my ear, but in my heart. And God simply said, Monty, I love you and I will never leave you. And it was in that moment where I felt like in my heart, I responded by saying, whatever I have, whatever future I have, whatever gifts I have, whatever it is, I want to give that to build your church. I want to give that to you, God. And so that moment has really started my journey into, you know, we could call it ministry, has really started my journey into discovering purpose. Because at 18, I didn't have any purpose. I didn't want to go to university. I didn't know what I wanted to do. That moment with God really like set my way. And it's still to this day, the driving force that's still my vision is that whatever I have, I want to use it for God. So I guess that's kind of a few different elements from my life, from my growing up that has formed a love for a purpose-driven life.
Awesome. So, I have questions. I want to know, like when you got back from that trip and you've had that revelation, you've had that God touch, like what were your next steps? Like, how do you work that out? Like, you've got this big picture thing, but then what do you do?
Yeah. So it was lucky for me because in 3 months I was going to graduate high school and I had a few options. Some of them were to go to university, but I wasn't super keen. And one of them was we just started a church plant in Sapporo. And I remember my dad saying, well, why don't you do like a gap year or something and go up to Sapporo and see how it goes. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty cold though. You know, I'm not too keen on the cold. But after that moment, I feel like that thought began to resonate in my head and my heart more. And it wasn't like I felt God say, go to Sapporo, you're called to Sapporo. Because I'm quite a logical thinker. I like the pros and cons charts. I like listing it up. And there were so many more pros than there were cons for going to Sapporo. And so I think God used that. God used the logical part of my brain to call me to go there. And that really helped. That was just like so learning so much at once is like a laser beam of like on hand learning. And that was great. And that was also hard. There was sacrifice in that experience as well. But yeah, I think God was good because he had these moments kind of lined up in a way. And I just had to be, I don't want to say smart enough, but like just clued in enough, like aware enough of what God was trying to do in my life to be able to accept the options, even if it didn't seem glamorous at the time. So yeah,
cool. Well, that's kind of... maybe we can break that down a little bit more further into the conversation. Okay. But what does this mean for you, Tusuke? Like, obviously, you're a Japanese guy. What's your story of discovering purpose?
Yeah. First of all, I am the fruit of the plumber's purpose life. If they chose the comfort and didn't come to Japan, maybe I didn't go to church. I didn't have opportunity to go to church. So yeah, I'm so thankful for the impact of the choosing the what's right and what's the vision and the purpose. So I was born and raised in a non-Christian family. And my dad is a video game programmer, which is super cool because I grew up with the video games. But all I heard from the people around me was the fun is now. The future is not fun.
Right.
So maybe you have to work every day until you die or something like that. So I grew up like, then just I do what's fun now. And then I grew up like that and hurting myself, hurting people and then doing a lot of bad things. But, and then I...
Tusuke, can I ask, is it not fun later because work life is so bad? Is that the idea, is like have all the fun you can before you start working full time? Or was it something else?
It was like that, yeah. So like my image from the world and the Japanese culture and people was that like working is like only in the working in a company, like a robot, and no fun, or no, the marriage not fun, or like all I hear was like that. So,
okay. So even marriage, family life,
marriage,
as well.
Marriage, work and everything. Yeah. So that's what I heard. So I believe that. So I chose to live my youth like if this is the, you know, anytime life can end.
Do you think that's still the main message that young people are getting in Japan? Would you, has it changed or is it still that, do you think?
Maybe because of the social medias and then other YouTube things, maybe people are really like sharing a lot of the, you know, the life is fun or something like that. So maybe it's different from when I was young, because I didn't have that much information from the internet or something. So So I was really believing that what my classmates says and teachers says and parents says and other adults says in the TV or something like that. So yeah. So that was my before Christ life. And I had a pure fear for the future because nothing fun is waiting for me. So yeah. So I chose the what's fun right now, not the good for the future. And I was invited to church, and that was the first time I saw the adults and then the, you know, the older people having fun or like living the purpose life. And also heard the scripture, which is I think the most highlighted scripture in the Bible in Asia, is a Jeremiah 29:11. And then God has a plan for me. Not the bad one, but the good ones. That gave me hope. Really gave me hope when I journaled that. And I started believing Jesus. And yeah, here I am living the purpose of life.
How old were you when you came to church?
I think it was 21 years old.
Okay. So were you a uni student?
Yes, I was a uni student at that time.
Okay. So... So you got saved, and then how did you discover purpose? Was that like kind of in the same process, or was it later?
It's interesting when I look back that 11 years ago, the first season journal, I didn't know, is this my thinking or is it actually God's voice? But like when I started reading the Bible, but when I look back, there's two initial like passions that I had from the beginning. Is one is Jesus is amazing. Everyone needs to know Jesus. And the second is the Bible needs to be taught really simple and well. That was like when I first reading Bible, I had this passion or like a feeling, but I didn't know that was something that I get to do now, but at the time. But I had, God gave me that like small seed from the beginning when I was reading the Bible daily. And how I discovered my purpose is I didn't know my gifts, I didn't know my talents, I didn't know my passion at the time, but all I had was thankfulness that Jesus actually changed my life. I quit the bad habits and quit smoking and started having a vision for the marriage and the work. And it's I don't know what's going to be, but I have hope. That was my first stage. And in my second heart, like a heart state, was that whatever I can do, I will do for God. So I joined the dream team, which I started from the video team, actually, to record the preachers and the worship, sort of broadcast, something like that. Because I loved the video and the making videos back that time. So I started that. But I discovered I'm so bad at the connecting the cables and things.
Every morning. How did you discover that? Like, what was happening?
So like every Sunday at the 8 a.m., go to church and start setting up. And so this goes to this converter. I don't know what it is, converter, but this goes in and this goes out. And I always, every week, my leader told me, okay, this is wrong. Okay. It's a very nice way. Okay, this is this way. And I started realizing, okay, I'm not a tech guy. That's my discovery. But I think I for 6 months or something, I did that. And then some other leader maybe saw my gift in the people skill or like my love for people. So invite me to the welcome team and something like that. And I started discovering, I love this, talking to people and being with the people and helping people take next steps. And that's how I started. Yeah.
What about, I guess, okay, it's one thing to serve in church and that's awesome. But obviously with what you're doing now, you've gone into full-time ministry. How did that shift go? Because that's kind of a lot more developed, that thought.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. Because like, as I said, as I was growing in Christ, I was not confident in my, is this my gift? Is this my talent? Or do I have leadership? Or I was a person who aspires to be a leader, but I'm not strong enough to lead people. I'm not strong enough to I was not confident. But this is like a Monty's Thailand experience. But there's an unusual experience that I had in one of the pastor's training session. And I still recall that time, and I'm still feeling that was a dream or something. But during the worship time, I felt my hands and my tongue really got, how do I say, electrified. Oh. Is this a word? Yeah, is that a word?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt paralyzed. My hand, I couldn't open my hands and I opened my mouth. My tongue was really paralyzed. It was if you remember, it was Komagome Bible School gathering when we praised with the acoustic guitar. I felt that so strong and I was so scared. And then, but I felt my heart that it's me and I will use this. And but I didn't know what it meant. I was not a preacher. I was a Bible Connect group leader, but I wasn't a preacher or anything. I was not working for church. But a few months later, I've been given the opportunity to preach in one of the youth service. And now I look back and I've been working with the translation, book translations and the subtitle translations. So it feels like, okay, now I know that God's using my tongue to preach the gospel and using my hands to translate and then writing the gospels through my hands. Mm-hmm. But that was really unusual experience for me. But that was really significant. I felt something that I have a big life awaiting for me. But I don't know the next step, you know.
Yeah.
But all I had was what's in front of me, the tasks and the roles that I'm being given. So, yeah. So from someone who aspires to be a leader and up to now is just being serious and faithful with what I've been given. And that took me to who I am right now. That's my answer, I think.
Did you want to be a pastor already at that point or not yet?
So I was in a meeting. So that means I said that I want to be a pastor, but I don't think I fully understand what a pastor is, but but I was that kind of stage. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. For me, I mean, I moved to Japan when I was 22. So I lived in Tokyo for 5 years and then I moved to Hong Kong and I've been here for 12 years. And I was really running away from my life in Australia. And the weird thing was that nothing was bad. Nothing was wrong. but everything felt wrong is the way that I describe it. Nothing was wrong, but everything felt wrong. And it was because I think I'm a naturally visionary person that had no vision. I had no vision that was worthwhile, that was like a God vision. It was all selfish. It was, I guess, personal ambition. And so I went to Japan for a year just to teach English and have a bit of fun and then go back to Australia and, you know, try to get more serious about my future. And God really grabbed me in that year in Tokyo and everything kind of changed. I remember once I realized, man, I've had it pretty good. Like a lot of people, I come from a pretty healthy family and I just knew that that alone, if I just looked at that, was like a super blessing. And where's that quote from? To whom much is given, much is required. Is that literally a Spider-Man quote?
No.
Is that like a scripture? Is that scripture?
That's
confusing Marvel with the Bible. So
it says in the Marvel.
I think that's in a Spider-Man movie. He's quoting that. What, like Uncle Ben is quoting that.
He says something about with much responsibility.
Oh, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah,
that's true.
That
is true. I got the two mixed up. Similar themes.
Yeah.
Everyone's worrying about my theology right now. Similar themes, but I really felt, it's weird, I felt the more I reflected on my life, I felt a deep sense of responsibility. Now, at the time, I was running from responsibility. Like, responsibility looked like work, because it is. It was, I saw all the burden, all the cost, all the sacrifice of being, of responsibility. So, for example, even when they first, you know, my leader first asked me to lead a connect group in the church, I was like, no way. I don't want to do that. Like, why would I? I could just go to a connect group, have my Java chip Frappuccino and just sit and chat with my friends. Why would I want to lead this and have be responsible for managing this and whatever? So it was just very selfish ultimately. But I started getting the sense that I'm really blessed. I've been given a lot, and this is pretty childish, this way of living. And it's not that I felt like really bad or something. I wasn't beating myself up, but I was like, I think it's time to be a man. I felt like God was saying, time to grow up, mate. I've given you a lot. It's time to, you know, see that come out in serving me. And I didn't think that would be a pastor. In fact, I pushed back on that for probably a year. I did not want to be a pastor at all. I didn't want to be in ministry. But I knew it was going to be building the church. So I thought that'd probably be in business, maybe financially supporting the church or something like that. I did have some business goals before that. And then over time, kind of like Monty, like you, I think I work with those lists as well, pros and cons. And I think the overall vision is God has spoke to me clearly on, but or the calling, but then have made a lot of logical decisions. And over time, just realizing what I was good at and what I was bad at, some things just made more sense than other things. And I moved towards this kind of life. And now I feel that you can't find purpose if you won't carry responsibility. You'll actually have emptiness. And as a dad, you know, like kids are probably the biggest responsibility you'll ever carry. And yet it's also one of the biggest sense of like purpose you can have in your life is being a dad. Like, and obviously having a spouse is a responsibility, and being a leader in the church, whether that's in a small group or some other capacity. Yet all my fulfillment comes from those things. And I was actually trying to avoid those things when I was 22 and first walked into Lifehouse. I had wrong thinking on that. And I was, that's why I felt so empty, is we're not wired for, we're wired to actually carry something. And I think that scripture where Jesus talks about his yoke being light, it's interesting that he has a yoke. Like, he didn't say, come out, come and chill with me, come and relax and I'll refresh you.
Right.
He said, come and carry this with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to help you carry something really good. Mm. And I feel like that's what leadership is. Mm. That's why I want to be a leader, is like you carry something for others' benefit and you get blessed in the process. And I think as I've, that revelation has kind of, you know, as it has developed in my life over this last 17 years, like I still find that to be absolutely true, that God's given us a lot. Even if you didn't have come from a happy family, if you know Jesus, you've been given everything. And if we can follow him and, you know, build what he's building, which is the church, I think we're all called to build the church. I'm convinced of that in some capacity. And we're going to find fulfillment in that. And it's still fulfilling. So that was my revelation, is 17 years later, it's still awesome. Mm. In fact, it just gets more exciting as you understand things a little bit better and you've got more friends and you've got more, you know, opportunities to impact and you've got more developed skills. This journey gets more exciting. I think life is complicated, but as long as you're staying close to Jesus, I think this life of purpose gets more and more exciting. That's been my experience. Monty, after you went to Sapporo, because you were pretty young at that point, like when did you move back to Tokyo? Were you like 20?
Yeah. So I went up when I was 18 and I came back when I was 20. Yeah. And I started interning at the church. So that was the reason why I came back, was Pastor Rod, aka my dad, he was like, why don't you come back and intern at the church? Do some stuff, maybe some music stuff. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. But when I went up, I really didn't think, like, I went up with my heart prepared that I would be there for longer than I was.
Yeah.
Like, if God said you're going to be here, like, forever, like, I feel like I went up there with the understanding, like, okay, I'm just going to focus on this, and wasn't really worrying about, like, how long that was supposed to be. So, yeah, after a bit, My dad was like, come back down to Tokyo. So same thing, pros and cons. Had more pros than cons. So both times, going up and coming back, it wasn't like, I was journaling, I was hearing God's voice, but it wasn't like super clear, like, I've called you to this. Because I think the calling was like less specific.
Me too.
Makes sense. Like, the calling was build the church.
Yeah.
That's still my calling today. My calling was not become a pastor. Mm-hmm. My calling is build the church.
Yeah.
So wherever that is.
Mine is exactly the same, like literally the same wording.
Same.
So I think that's the same, with all of us. And sometimes I get a little bit worried when people say, like, my calling is to be a pastor. I'm like, do you know what you're saying? Do you know what you're signing up for? But anyways, so I came back and still young. And I think I was blessed in that. Like, a lot of these things happened when I was young. So I got to learn many lessons when I was young. But also, I think, like, similar to what you guys are saying, is that finding out what your purpose is, part of that is finding out what your purpose is not. Like, sure. I'm not good at this. I'm not passionate for this. I don't have, you know, skills in this area. I think those things help us discover what our purpose ultimately is and how we do that more efficiently. So I think that's what you're saying, Richard, because you're a bit older than us and it gets better with every year. I think because it seems like you're kind of cutting out the fluff or cutting out the things that are not so streamlining for you. But I think that's something that young people, at least I see, I don't know, I'd like to hear your thoughts, guys, but I think young people struggle with the whole concept of like making a decision. Like I was going to say with taking a risk, but I think it's even more basic. It's making a decision for fear that they would make a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think there's such a fear of making mistakes that it hinders people from just stepping out, from just trying things. But I think it's really hard to hone your vision, to sculpt it or to sculpt your purpose when you're afraid to make mistakes or you're afraid to just try something.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like maybe I'll hear from Tusker with Japanese people. What do you think with young people? Do you see this happening? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely there's a fear of like making mistakes, I believe, because like when you buy something on Amazon, you don't want to make a mistake. So you do the research and then comparison and reviews and everything. As I think it's a society right now that we have many answers and many opinions. And the purpose is not to make mistakes so people can research and things. But I think that's the... Right now, we have so much information. So it's hard to make decisions. I think it's more than where we were before. But I think that's the one situation is happening now. But I would say really, I want to encourage young people to try and error, because like making a mistake is not a bad thing. As we talked about here, it's making a mistake is opportunity to discover and your thing. It's when you do the actually missing the mark, next time you try a little down here and then you try to hit like a shoot or something. And so you don't have one bullet, you have many. So you just try and take a step and adjust. I think that's really... And start from small things. And that's what I would say to the young people right now.
Yeah, that's great. What about you, Richard, in Hong Kong? What are the people like there? Are they also afraid or are they a bit more bold?
School life here is hardcore. It is like very high pressure academically. And so they're just trying to survive high school, basically, and get to the next stage, which is hopefully where they could study something more that they like or that's more, you know. But then I went to university when I was 18. I didn't know what to choose. So you can get stuck in the wrong thing. And so there's a lot of that as well. Or people living under pressure of what their parents want for them. So, you know, you should be a doctor. So I'm going to go study to be a doctor. So there's a lot of that family pressure and just pressure to do well academically. I think with that, some things definitely in our culture here, some things happen a lot later than what I experienced growing up in Australia. Like I'd moved out of home at the age of 18 in Australia. Like no one is doing that here. I don't know one young person who's done that. And part of that of a very practical reasons, like it's just so expensive here for accommodation and things like that. And there's not really a culture of you go get a part-time job while you go to uni. Like there is a little bit, but like I was literally paying for my rent, my car, everything while I was at uni. Like it was just a different culture and maybe some of the costs were lower in Australia doing those right. things. So it is a bit different. So, and then so people are getting married later for sure. Mm. And then there's also a culture of got to have a big wedding and you want to have down payment on a house and all of that before you get married. That's like a huge hurdle to get over. So there's a lot of things pushing life later and later. And that's also why you see we have a super low birth rate. People are having very few kids in families. Mm. I'm giving you a very big macro view here, but I think that there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of expectation. And oftentimes, maybe people are not really stepping back and questioning the big picture of, is this really what God would have of my life? They're on a path and it's very clearly defined. But that's not always God's path. So I think there's many things that would be similar to what I experienced living in Japan as well. I think young people have similar problems all over the world. We're pretty globalized. I love what you said, Tusuke, about having too much information. In some ways, I'm grateful that I was going through those earlier years of my life without as much influence from the internet. Because now I have, you know, we all have information overload, and it's really about like, how do I discern what is good to listen to and what's not? Because there's been a lot that I've had to unlearn from things I've learned online. And I think YouTube can be amazing. Some people are probably watching this on YouTube, and I love YouTube. I think to me, it's my library. I don't read many books anymore. I used to read a lot. Now I watch a lot and I listen to a lot. But you have to also be very careful in what you're listening to, and you can get filled with a lot of weird ideas. And some people present very well and yet don't have a good thesis with their core message. And so their core message is off. So, I think there can be a lot of confusing stuff out there. And in the protests in Hong Kong, 2019, things got real wild here politically. And young people were walking around like they were saying Hong Kong is dead. The only option was moving. A lot of people can't move, you know, only certain people who can get visas and have the finance to do that and their family background, like, is it in a position to move, could do that. And so most people couldn't. So you're kind of stuck here with this narrative that my city is dead and we have no future. Wow. And the only hope is politically, and we don't have much political hope.
Right.
So it was awful. It was like zombies. I mean, I'd have young people walking into the church service, watching the protests and all the news, like just feeding on negative social media and just looked like in a state of shock. It's like, put down the phone, man, you need a break. Like, and that's not always so easy when you're younger, I think, to have that discernment of what is you should be feeding on and what you shouldn't be. So that's a long way of saying, Tusuke, I think you're absolutely right. I think there can be this paralysis of so much information coming in, and how do I make the right decision, and overthinking things. I like what you said, Monty, about like you just got that revelation of build the church, and then you over time you worked out what that looks like. That's exactly what was mine as well. In fact, mine was build the church, but I'm not doing that as a pastor. Like, that's what I was thinking. That last bit was like, I don't want to be a pastor. You know, another thing that God spoke to me about was maximum impact. I want my life to have maximum impact for Him. So I've tried to make decisions around that framework of how can I have a maximum impact for the kingdom of God? And if that's in business, cool, I'll do that. But over time, when you realize your strengths and weaknesses, you start like, okay, it lines up more with this. And over time I realize, that's what a pastor is. And what I didn't want was another model of pastor that we don't pastor like that in Lifehouse. And that's fine if other churches do that, but that was not attractive to me. But as I saw a different model of pastoring, it was actually in line with, I think, how I was built and wired and the more I did of those things, I just loved it. And my heart was just like, give me more. Like, I want to do more of this. So, and that just hasn't gone away. Like, it's not a fad. You know, when I first told my parents that I wanted to do this, I think they were like, that's great. They were supportive because they're great people. But I don't think they thought, I wonder if they thought it would last. Like, I've had that many pads. I'm a passionate person. I'll just go down one line. Like, I've done lots of things. So, but this one really lasts. And there's a great scripture I just read recently, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And it's weird now being around in Lifehouse for 17 years because I've had a few people say to me, oh, you're one of the more senior people in the movement. And I'm like, what? Like, I was the young guy. And I know I'm not that old. I'm turning 40 this year, but I'm certainly not the young guy anymore. But I can say that is the purpose of the Lord has been what has stood all this time. And there's been real decisions of real sacrifice, coming to Hong Kong. And, but it was almost part of the adventure. It was almost like, I know this is kind of crazy, but this is so exciting what we're doing. Like, it, I didn't dwell much on the cost of the calling. It was so exciting. I just wanted to do something big for Jesus, and it felt big to me. And maybe it's small to other people, but to me it felt big. And that was, yeah, I don't know. That's kept me going all these years. How do you guys feel about like those decisions where you could go the comfortable route, but you've chosen the bigger option, and maybe there was some sacrifice in that? Like, even for me, like when I got the opportunity to come to Hong Kong, I was living in Tokyo and loving it. Like, had so many friends and just was doing big things in the church and just was under amazing leadership. It was awesome. But and I knew going to Hong Kong, a lot of that would be gone, and it would take years to build back. But it was that thought of, man, what if we could give this to some other people who didn't have this option, you know, because they don't live in Tokyo. And that thought, the bigness of that was like so attractive to me. It helped me to be able to leave my what had become very wonderful and comfortable, even though it was an adventure. There was something else that I felt like, okay, that, you know, it's going to be harder for me. Okay, I'm not saying everyone should leave Tokyo. You guys are both there. Great. but for me, you get what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
So I don't know how that relates to you guys, but tell me about a bit of your experience with sacrifice, cost, paying the price for the bigger life, and where are you at with that?
Sure, I can go first. Obviously, there's a cost, but I think, like I mentioned, seeing my parents pay the cost, but then also seeing it pay off in different ways years later, I think that's put a really healthy frame around what sacrifice looks like. Because people hear sacrifice and they're like, well, I don't want to give up now. It's like, but if you go into business and you invest in something, you don't see that payoff immediately either. So I think we got to put sacrifice in a healthy frame of, yeah, there is a sacrifice. Yeah, there are things that we give up, we forego. You know, if I wanted to make a lot of money, if that was my main focus in life, then I wouldn't be doing what I do now. I wouldn't be a pastor. But I think the vision, like you said, the purpose really makes it like it, that helps put it in perspective. It's like, yes, there is a sacrifice, but the purpose is greater. And then seeing people like at church, like you see them get free from something, or you see someone, they said like, I used to be like this and now I'm like this, like all of that stuff, like really helps put things into perspective. It's like, yes. That's what we're doing. That's why I'm here. I'm not the one that's bringing the change in their life. I'm just the signpost, right? But the part of that yoke that, like you mentioned earlier, that light yoke that Jesus says, like, that means we get to share in the work that Jesus does in people's lives. Like, we're attached to that work that Jesus ultimately is doing. But that is so fulfilling in my life. Mm. And yeah, we've had to sacrifice stuff here and there. But yeah, we're not complaining about it.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we had, like, you know, we bought a house a while back and then we had to sell it because it wasn't, like, all this stuff. So we only lived there for like 5 months. But then, you know, we trusted in God and we were able to, like, bunch of series of miracles, we were able to then find an apartment, a small apartment by any standard. But we love it. We're so blessed. We're so thankful. And I think, like you guys were saying, that thankfulness, I think, always points us or brings us back in line with purpose. I think when we lose our thankfulness, we lose our purpose.
Yeah.
And then we focus on the sacrifice. We focus on the loss or what I'm missing out on.
Yeah.
But thankfulness, I think, helps bring us back in line with purpose. So, yeah, that'd be what I'd say. What about you, Tusker? Mm.
Yeah. To me, like, to sacrifice, that sounds like painful. That sounds like, uncomfortable. But I think sacrifice is to really, how to say, not brush the arrow, but sharpen the iron, something like that. Make a good decision now for the later happiness or later purpose life or something like that. But for me, I sacrifice the most when I believe in Jesus. And that experience, that when I sacrificed a lot of things back then, now really, really like not a big sacrifice after my Christian journey, because my first conflict was my Jesus, facing Jesus or family, facing Jesus or my close friends. And that was a big conflict for me, because Jesus is a new guy for me, but my friends and family has been with me for a long time. But my friends and family has been with me for a long time, and then they said, like, are you going to change, or what are you going to do? It's like, what if it doesn't pay off? Or, you know, that kind of comment from my friends and family. But there was a hope that I couldn't describe with my words in Jesus. And then was journaling and praying, and God spoke to my heart that if you let me go now, you will not be able to help yourself, your friends and family. If you cling to me now, you will be able to help yourself and your friends and family. It really sounds like God, but it felt like my heart that now, okay, whatever my friends and family said to me, I will not react, but respond with love and thankfulness. But I will prioritize Jesus and my heart and the schedule and in every way. That was like really a month after believing Jesus. And I decided to get baptized. And that sacrifice is now paying me off. My friends are not still saved, but my parents were opposed to my faith before, but now they're supporting my job as a pastor. And they come to the church. So God is really faithful. God is really good. And it's really, I'm reaping the harvest from my sacrifice 11 years ago now. And another sacrifice we get to face is the choosing a partner. Because every guy maybe has a certain type of women, but there's a one the God is actually preparing for them. But I was having a specific type for the ladies, and I was praying, who's my partner, God? I want to get married, and then praying, but all the women like I feel attracted to was a certain type. So I was, but one time I felt this thought, is this my type from God or the experience from the world, or like a, the world's right. image, everything. And I prayed the most bold player is change my lens and let me see what I need to see. Mm. And then a week later, I started seeing my the wife, but that time was one of the friends circle, the one girl, really bright and shine and beautiful. And I just, she was always beautiful and great, but I didn't see that. So I sacrificed my old nature or like old lens. And I'm so blessed. And now, because of sacrifice, I get to have the amazing marriage and amazing family life. So sorry, the long talk, but that's my sacrifice experience.
So yeah. Good.
Yeah. Dude, Tuske, that is so similar to mine, and I know we're 50 minutes in, so we'll like wrap things up. But I literally, I didn't know that, and I was like going, "What?" Because I had the same thing, and then I had this revelation of like, no, I would walk around and be like praying, like, "God, open my eyes to, you know, to the right person." And it was soon after that that, you know, me and Janice hit it off, and so it was very similar to what you described. Anyway, yeah, that's wild.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's probably we should do a podcast on that one day. Anyway,
that's true.
So this is cool. I think we got to wrap this up. We've talked obviously a lot about the purpose life. We believe our best life is when we die and we're in heaven with Jesus. And you know, we're not just chilling out in heaven doing nothing. It's just going to be amazing. But that's a whole nother topic. But life is good. Mm. What is Pastor Rod saying recently? Life is long,
good,
long, hard, and good.
Long, hard. Yeah.
Life is long. Yeah. Life is hard. Life is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's true. Yeah. It is. Mm. So great. Well, thanks, guys, for making some time today. Hope that was helpful to everyone listening. If you have not heard the interview I've done with Pastor Rod on this topic, go back, listen to that one. You'll get something out of it. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed today's episode, why don't you subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this, and we'll see you next time.